you were writing this book during or just after the Occupy movement.
Right.
And one criticism of that movement that I remember is, no, you have to have a goal. You don't have a goal. And yet we see how their notion of the 1% hoarding the wealth from the 99%, the rest of us, has become part of the national consciousness. Mm-hmm. I mean, to me, that's a huge success. How much of that is a lesson for us? And do you see Occupy as being successful?
I see Occupy as majorly successful, and I don't see it as over either. I think it's an ongoing, sort of like the word eco-poetics. It's become a site of conversation. I think the fact of a leaderless movement was extremely important. I think the fact that the students got re-involved and that kind of prepared for other kinds of actions was extremely important, of resisting capitalist resistance. And it's just the anti-capitalism and the anarchist movements that have kind of sprung to life again. I mean, they're very old, but they're springing to life again, and people were very inspired by it. I think I remember our little trip, you know, when I was up there
in Seattle,
and we saw that amazing, you know, community
little city.
There.
Little city. Seattle Central Community College.
And,
yeah.
You know, and just because the cities couldn't tolerate those encampments and did violence to them and did really forced breakdowns of them, doesn't mean that some of the good work doesn't continue. Like, you know, I still know people that are involved in squatters' rights and doing a lot of, you know, work with unoccupied buildings, and I thought it was extremely successful, actually. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And also just the fact that a foregrounding economic disparity, again, it's been done before, but foregrounding in that way, rather than just, you know, a group or one group or another group, but really the huge relationship between the wealthy, the haves and the not haves, and also, you know, what can we do? The resistance, you know, the fact that we have to live kind of in a ceaseless state of opposition, I think, which is definitely part of my poetics. I mean, I feel like that opposing the status quo is part of what a poetic spirit has to be, you know, and restless in relation to the received.
How come neoliberals don't get this?
Oh, God, I don't know. I find this spring I wrote a very long rant that I still haven't finished. But after the inauguration of this crazy person, I sat down and I started typing, and I wrote this long thing in couplets, and it's as much a sort of angry rant against liberals as it is against you know, anything else, against certainly as much as it is against the right, because I just think, you know, we have helped shovel our way into this in every way.
Dr. King warned us in 1963 in his letter from Birmingham jail about the real impediment to progress being the, what he called, the white moderate.
Yeah, I'll say. And the white medium progressive. You know, I think, and also the fact that most people aren't willing to think, not just not willing to think, but also not willing to sacrifice anything,
right,
you know, to make themselves profoundly uncomfortable with the status quo. Mm-hmm. And we're just such a wealthy country. You know, people just do not feel the effects.
Do you think that sacrifice in one's life is either something we choose to do or is forced upon us? You know, I look at practices like Lent or Ramadan, and you know, all the major spiritual traditions have some kind of sense of self-imposed sacrifice. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, if you ever do Ramadan for a year and you really get a sense of that, you know, it works. It brings a different kind of consciousness.
Yeah.
So that's a theory that I'm working with. Either we choose our own sacrifice or one is imposed upon us.
Well, I think that's probably true. It's certainly a sort of Hegelian notion that the wave and the counter wave will keep coming by turns, and that we won't be able to control these groundswells of history, because at a certain point we'll just be overwhelmed by the new thing and the dialectical, you know, back and forth of the way this part of history will play itself out. I guess my feeling about that, and I really have trouble working it out within myself, because I feel so besieged in a life that's essentially a life of extraordinary beauty and privilege that I, you know, have in part helped create for myself, and in part has been given to me because of my white skin, and my parents worked really hard, and I didn't have to struggle to go to college and that kind of thing. And my feeling has been that it's very hard to tell yourself you're not the center of the universe, of your own universe, and you don't deserve what you have. Well, we don't deserve what we have. We don't. I mean, that's not to say we shouldn't have a great feeling of gratitude for, you know, our daily consciousness and our beauty and our things, and being able to have these delicious gluten-free chips here, and, you know, my nice salary from St. Mary's, and we'll get these things for me. But we don't deserve it compared to if you see the whole picture. I mean, I think that deserve is just such a weird word. And our generation, we spent so much time after the 60s thinking that we had evolved to the self-actualization movement, where, you know, we deserved our spas and our, you know, our meditative life that allowed us a peaceful zone and to live in this beauty and of creation and everything, and that self-actualizing was the most important thing we did. I don't think it's not important. I think it is one of the major pieces. But I think living in relation to other people's not having things is just as important, which is why I feel like if I'm not doing something active that causes me discomfort, at least some of the time it's you know...
Like moaning at the gas pump, for instance?
Well, I mean, that's one of my little jokes, you know? But in some way, sacrificing for others or to change the system when you can't cause the revolution, it's just not going to come probably in our lifetime. But that doesn't mean there isn't plenty of stuff to be done,
right.
I guess, I think.